rugby on its deathbed. That's the claim from the man in charge of the French bid to host the 2023 World Cup. Claude Acher says the European nation must host the tournament in order to halt the death of international rugby. Now, former Wallaby Peter Fitzsimons is with us to talk about this. And Peter, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I do. Good to talk to you again.
I hate to correct you. I don't think Claude Acher. I think it's Claude.
Is it Claude? Claude. Okay.
Acher.
All right. So what's his argument? Does it have merit, do you think?
I think it's very extreme. I don't think that the ills of international rugby or the problem with international rugby is going to go away whether you not give it to France, Northern Hemisphere or Southern Hemisphere. He's totally overstating it. However, I do have experience with French rugby. And when I was the first foreigner, étranger, to play in my club of Brive Le Gaillard in the middle of France, I went there 3 or 4 years ago. I go there every year, but I just happened to go to a training 3 or 4 years ago. There were 35 guys in the squad. 32 of them were from South Africa, New Zealand and Australia. And I found that absolutely ridiculous. So the French politics, what are you saying? The French rugby is absolutely prospering with huge amounts of money going into it. And as is English rugby, huge amounts of money. But the problem is, what he's saying is, that's soaking up all the best players that are coming. You know, so many Australians are going to play there, and New Zealanders, South Africans, and all the rest. And there's no room left over for the French boys to get international experience. And so, therefore, the French rugby falls away. And he's saying, and I don't follow his logic on this, he's saying that if France can host the World Cup, then this problem of too many foreigners and not enough French boys will be fixed. That is as I understand it. For me, that is an internal French rugby matter. I think it is a problem. I really think it is ridiculous to have, you know, an all-stars team of foreigners playing for a club team. Like Toulon's an example. Toulon has just an absolutely solid international team. You know, there's barely room for anybody that's not an international, but they're not even French internationals. They're mostly the best of New Zealand and best of All Blacks and the best Wallabies and all the rest of it.
But as you say, they don't need the World Cup to fix this. They could fix it now. I don't know what the fix is. It's basically like the EPL, the English Premier League, isn't it? It's dominated by overseas players.
Well, the system would be to say you can have two foreigners or three foreigners or four foreigners, whatever, something like that, and limited, and to say the rest of them must be local, you know, must be at least French. I would include to say, for me, the essence of rugby is tribalism. I would say you've got to have three or four players that will wheel down the main street of your town in a pram, you know, and that so you get some feeling for the jersey, for the whole thing. But it's an interesting thing. And generally, I would say he's overstating it, because I speak to Brett Gosper a fair bit, who runs the International Rugby Board. And the point that he makes to me is that rugby internationally is prospering as never before. It is boom time, particularly in the United States, in the college system, particularly in China, obviously going very well in New Zealand, France, Europe. The one exception is Australia, where we've been going through very, very tough times.
But according to the Claude Acher, is it? Anyway.
I was joking about that. I was just...
Oh, okay. Well, no. But according to him...
Larry, and yeah. I am Peter.
Is that right? According to him, though, Peter, he's saying that, you know, apart from New Zealand, you know, the international game, the finances are shocking, and he's blaming it all on this kind of thing. Do you go along with that?
Well, I would say that it's certainly shocking in Australia, and I had breakfast with Bill Pulver yesterday, and I'm not putting anything in the public domain that's not already obvious, but, you know, it's Bill Pulver, who's the CEO of Australian Rugby, who's moving on. I mean, he was under no illusions that there was no choice but to cut one of the Super Rugby teams, and the essence of the problem in Australian rugby is the Super Rugby teams have been losing money and can't pay their way, so, you know, one of them had to be cut away, and it was desperately sad that it had to be done. But in international rugby, I mean, Wallabies played Argentina last Saturday night, 14,000 people turned up. Now, you can't really pay the bills on 14,000 people. The Waratahs have played before teams of 10,000 this year. You can't pay the bills on that. So there's been real trouble with at that level. But another problem I highlight is that when the All Blacks play the Springboks and win 57 points to nil, and the Springboks are lucky to get to nil, you really have a problem, Houston. You know, the All Blacks are the benchmark. Mm. The All Blacks in international rugby in this decade are what West Indies cricket were to West Indies team were to cricket in the 1980s. They were the benchmark, and it is for the rest of us to come up to your level. But 57-0, that's a hard sell to the country of South Africa. Who wants to tune in and watch that?
Is the French system at fault here? I mean, if you limited the number of overseas players, and if you had the, I mean, they have them in the UK as well, this club competition where there's this tribalism, is that the way of the future and you have an international window?
Yeah, look, it's got to be resorted. Australian rugby can't go on the way it is at the moment. We've got to find our way. The good sign in Australian rugby is at grassroots level and club level, there's suddenly been a resuscitation. We've had people coming back to the grand finals, back to club games, and people have found, I mean, why do we all follow sport? Because of soul, because of warmth, because of romance, because of chivalry, because of passion. And the truth of it in Australian rugby is we've been finding that at club level, and we've been finding it absent at provincial level, at super level, and to a lesser extent at Wallaby level. Although I do note that the signs of life for the Wallabies are in the last four halves playing against the All Blacks. Mm. We've had a pretty damn good three halves. The last three halves have been pretty damn good. The first half was a shocker. So we live in hope.
All right, and that's a fair point. And thank you so much, Peter. It's always good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Can I ask you something, Larry, before you go?
Yes, you can. Of course you can.
What's going to happen in that state, in that New Zealand election?
Neck and neck. Neck and neck. I've got no idea. It's going to be depend on the minor parties, clearly. They're both neck and neck.
I am chair of the Australian Republic movement.
I know.
We stand behind one thing, that Australia can do better in the 21st century than to find our head of state from the family of English aristocrats. So I'm very interested to see if the Labor Party gets up. But if they do, do you think the new Prime Minister would put New Zealand on a quick path to becoming a Republic?
Well, I don't know whether it's a quick path. I mean, I heard her answer that question. It was actually, you know, just an off-the-cuff kind of question from memory. And she said, we should have a discussion, no more than that. That's all she said. I would say, no matter who's in government, we've got more chance of becoming a Republic than Australia right now, actually.
No, we're going damn well, thank you. Bill Shorten on the 29th of July announced that if the Labor Party, and we are neutral politically, and we hope that Malcolm Turnbull will match it, but Bill Shorten, 29th of July, said that if the Labor Party wins the next election, in the next election cycle, there will be a question put to the Australian people in a referendum. Do you think Australia should have an Australian as a head of state? And my final question to you, Larry, is do you think New Zealand can do better than to find your head of state from a family of English aristocrats?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on the same page there, no question about it. Yeah.
Good on you.
All right. Hey, Peter.
We need your listeners to join.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Fitzsimons, a former Wallaby, of course. News Talk ZB, it is now 4:18.